We're in Psalm 42. We're going to be looking at Psalm 42, 43, and Psalm 44 today. And as we continue our study in the Psalms. And so the Psalms are actually broken down into a series of books. And Psalm 1 to Psalm 41 consists of what is called the first book of Psalms. We're now into what is called Book 2. And that consists of Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. And so we're beginning today the second book of Psalms. And so we'll begin by reading here in Psalm 42, and we'll read the entire psalm and get into our study, Psalm 42, then we'll look at Psalm 43 and conclude with Psalm 44. Beginning at verse 1, Psalm 42, reading to verse 11, the psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." This is a psalm that is called a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As I was researching authorship in terms of time, none of the commentators that I used could give to me a precise time. But these psalms that we're going to be looking at are actually psalms that were written by those who are referred to as the sons of Korah. Now, I want you to note as we begin here that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 actually at one time were connected. And you'll see the connection in just a moment. But it's in some of the writings, they actually were joined in a sense like a single psalm. As we begin, I want you to see something though with me. I want you to see that the psalmist says, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God." The psalmist longs for the presence of God in his life. It would seem that there has been a time of separation, of isolation. He hasn't had the ability to go to worship God in the temple. And so he's saying that there's a thirst in him. There's a great desire in him that only God can meet. There's a thirst in his soul that only God can meet. He's isolated. He's in the wilderness. He can't go and worship. And he longs to drink. He's longing for a drink of living water. I find it interesting to note that very often as we study the Scriptures, especially as we look at the Psalms, that very often as we're looking at the Psalms, we'll see that there is a statement, a poetic statement that gives us an insight into a longing or a desire that you could have for God. This one speaks as if a deer or a hart is thirsty out there in the wilderness. And you know how sometimes it can be so hot and you become dehydrated. And the only thing you really want is a drink of water. Well, that's the point he's making. He's saying, as I'm wandering and I'm desperate, there's a longing inside of me that can only be met, a thirst inside of me that can only be met by the living water that God provides. And that's what the Lord, I believe, allows us to experience very often in our own lives. Because there are times that we can go through things in our lives where we feel isolated and dry. We can even become discouraged and even depressed, if you will. And so he's saying immediately, my soul is panting for you, O God. I have a hunger and I have a thirst that only you can quench. Now, all of you know that I am a tremendous country music fan. Actually, I think are good. Forgive me, but I do. I don't listen to country music unless I'm forced to, but when I have been forced to, I've said, you know, that makes some sense. And I know that I have some country music fans in here. I'm certain I do. I haven't converted you yet. But my wife, Marie, found a song by Leanne Rimes. And it's called, what is it called? I Need You. And in that song, the songwriter put into words a thirst that this individual has, this young lady has, for her, the one she's in love with. And it's a song that Marie actually has dedicated to me. It's her song to me. And here I go. Was gone for a week and I get weird. But, excuse me, I knew that if I shared this with you, I'd get too open. But as I was thinking about this today, I thought, Lord, that young lady is singing a song to a guy that she's in love with. And she says, I need you like water, like breath, like rain. I need you like mercy from heaven's gate. There's a freedom in your arms that carries me through. I need you. And that's Marie's song to me. And it touches me. Because if my wife could say, you know, this song puts into words the feelings I have as a wife to a man. Well, when I was reading this today, and the psalmist says, the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, oh my God. That's such a powerful thought. That is such a powerful longing. Like the deer out there in the midst of the wilderness that's dehydrating, looking for something to drink. That's how I feel right now, Lord. And there's nothing that I've ever partaken of that can ever quench the longing of my soul. The material things that I've possessed, the relationships that I've endured or had someone endure with me, the various educational successes I've had, the possessions that in many people's lives are really the symbols of success. All of these things that I've had have never satisfied me. The only thing that will ever satisfy me, the psalmist is saying, is you. To drink of your living water. That's the only thing that will ever fill this parched and thirsty soul. And so I can see that, and as he's saying it, notice in verse 2 how he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I don't have a relationship with an idol or a dead God of any sort. I have a relationship with the living God, a living God who gives living water. And the living water that Jesus promised would flow out of us and enter into us and flow out of us is the Spirit of God. And he says, I want to have a relationship with you. I am thirsty for living water from the living God. And so in verse 2, he says, when shall I come and appear before God? When am I going to have an opportunity to once again enter into the temple and just worship God with all of my heart? That's what I long to do. You see, there are a lot of people who see going to church, and we'll just bring it to the 21st century and include the church in this. Of course, this is written in the Old Testament. He's speaking about going to the temple to worship the Lord. But there are people who actually, their Christianity is like weekly or sometimes, you know, every other week. Did you know that in our church, as is the average in every church, did you know that every Sunday when the church meets, some 30% of the church is not even present that day? 30% of the church doesn't even go regularly. There are people today who visit God once in a while who don't really have a longing, who don't have a real passion, who don't have a real thirst in their soul. So they try and have that met by other things. And the psalmist says it's never going to work that way. Never has and never will. My soul thirsts for the living God. And my desire, he says, is to be with Him. I want to be in a place where others worship Him because I draw strength from fellowship. You'll see that in verse 4 when he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. That meant something to me, joy and praise. I would be together with people who love the Lord, and I would draw strength from their strength. That's what fellowship does for you. In the midst of all of this, he says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? They're asking him, where's God in your life? This is what he uses. He questions, where is God during our dry times? There are times when I've gone through dryness in my spirit, and that question will come to me. Where is the Lord? Where's God in the midst of all of this? I'm sure every person who's a Christian in this room tonight would say that there have been seasons in your life where you become dry spiritually, and one of the first things that you'll hear from the inner voice is, where's God now? So where is God now? And that's what the enemy does, and that's what the enemies are doing. They're continually saying to me, where is your God? He says, and I think about this, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. I used to go with the multitude. There was such a great joy in just coming in and streaming in with the rest of the people who are worshiping the Lord. There was such a joy and a strength that I would gather from doing that, and I longed for that. When I was in the Army, I was 20 years old. I was only a Christian for 3 months when I went into the service. I had begun going to a small church in Costa Mesa called Calvary Chapel. And it was a hippie church. And I felt like I was welcome there because that's what I had been. I'd been a hippie. And now I was taken from Calvary Ministry, from Calvary Chapel, from here in Southern California. And I am now at Fort Ord up in Northern California. And then before you know it, I'm shipped all the way across the United States to Fort Benning, Georgia, and I end up in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And you know, I was longing for the fellowship that I had had. I was longing for that. I was lonely. I was by myself out there, and I was thinking, oh Lord, where are you? I feel like I'm isolated. It's not happening here. You know, I remember reading in one of the magazines, I think it was a Time magazine, I bought a Time magazine, and there was a picture of Pastor Chuck Smith, and he was baptizing people at Del Mar, and I looked at this picture of my pastor, and I told the guy who was there with me in the barracks, I said, that's my pastor, and that's the church that I go to. And look, he's on Time magazine. Unbelievable. That's the church I go to. You see all those long hairs and all of that? Those are the people I used to fellowship with. And I longed for that. I hungered for that. I was in the military for a couple of years, and I longed for that kind of fellowship again. You know what it's like to have something that's rich and something that's filling your life, and then for it to be removed for a while, and you get dry, and he's saying, I used to go to the temple. I used to worship with people. There was joy and praise there, and I longed for that. He goes on to say in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. So there's an internal dialogue. He begins to ask himself questions. But in asking himself a question, he leads himself by the Spirit. Really, Spirit leads him to an answer. His question is, why are you disquieted within me? The answer is, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Sometimes you might be puzzling, where is the Lord in all of this? And when you just stop and start asking questions of yourself, wait a minute, where was I before? Where am I now? What has God's Word taught me? What have I learned through walking with Him? You come to the same conclusion, hope in God. Hope in God. Have a quiet confidence in the Lord. Have a confidence that God is in control. Trust and rest in Him, and He's going to see you through. And that's the answer. Oh my God, verse 6, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. And so he's basically saying, I'm going to remember that I've had relationship with you. I am spiritually despondent, I'm dry, and I am extremely isolated. And I need to remember what you have done in my life. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. It's a picture of the Jordan River, if you will. as it's surging from the three sources are in Mount Hermon. If you were to go to Israel, you would discover that the Jordan River that comes basically this, through the center of Israel and empties into the Sea of Galilee and then continues on into the Dead Sea. If you went to Israel, you would note that there are actually three main sources for the single river. They all come down from Mount Hermon and they join into the Jordan River. It's a picture of the water that is coming down, joining, going over a fall, and then hitting the water. And when it hits the pool underneath it, it's deep calling. I could illustrate this because this, by the way, this scripture here has been one of the scriptures that the Lord has used in my life for a number of years now because because there's something inside of me that has responded to what the scripture says. And I'm going to try and explain a little bit of what it means. It means the water is rushing over the falls and it's landing into a pool of water. And the deepness of the waiting water is responding to the pouring water from the waterfall. Deep is calling unto deep. That's the picture. When you go through things and something seems to be pouring into your life, there's something on the inside that is going to rush up to meet that. There's going to be something that the Lord is going to use in you that actually responds to that. And when pressures hit us, something responds, and it's normally going to be faith. You can respond in one of two ways. Let me remind you of that. You can respond to problems in one of two ways. Either you can respond with doubt or you can respond with faith. That's your basic two ways that you respond to your situations. Keep that in mind. Doubt and faith. You can either say, God isn't going to do anything about this. I'm gone. That's all there is to it. Or you can say, my God shall supply. You can do one of two things. If you doubt, you go into despair. If you have faith, you're still going to go through the valley. But the Lord is going to be with you every step of the way, and He's going to bring you through. And when you have something pouring into your life, something is going to rise to the occasion. It's going to respond to that. And that's what He's saying here in this psalm here. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. But He goes on to say, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. In the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. In the midst of the night He gives me a song to sing. And I have discovered that that is true. I have discovered that is something that is a very practical reality. It's been true in my own life. He gives us songs in the night. He gives us things that even though we're going through pressure and times of trial and sometimes great pain and confusion, that the Lord can also give you joy and He can give you confidence and He can give you hope. Like Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail and they were in the stocks and they'd been beaten with rods. And yet the Bible says that at midnight they sang songs unto the Lord. Because the Lord can give to you a song in the night. And the psalmist is saying, they're asking me, where is your God? So I'm disquieted within myself. And I cry out and say, where are you, Lord? And then the answer comes, hope in God. As deep calls unto deep. There is something that's responding in me that says, I can have a quiet confidence in the Lord because He's going to see me through. I will not, in other words, give in to doubt. This has become a prayer to the God of my life. The God of my life. Not just the one thing amongst many. He is the God of my life. It's similar to what Paul says when he says, Christ is my life. Not my hobby. Not my occasional person that I confide in. He is my life. Not a way to life. He is my life. And God is the God of my life. So I don't have a hobby as a Christian. It's not just one of the things that I have in my grab bag of life that I call David Rosales. God is my life. Jesus Christ is the source of my life. And that's the point he's making here. He's saying the Lord is there with me in every way. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I will remember you. You have been faithful to me. You will continue to be faithful to me all through my life. And I will seek you. The Bible in Psalm 34:4 said, I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And so he's saying, I can trust in the Lord. I will trust in God. I will continue to do that. So in the middle of my struggle, I'll continue to question. I will feel abandoned. I will feel alone. I will say these godless men don't care about God and they don't care about me, but I do. I will even go so far as to say I should be enjoying peace and joy. But at the same time, the answer is going to be trusting God. That's what he means when he says hope in God. Trust in God. Why? Because God will never let you down. In Job 13:15 said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In Romans 8:38-39, Paul said it this way. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Cling to the Lord. Cling to Him. Hold on to Him as tightly as you can in the midst of your struggles. I've said this before, but I like saying it, so I'll say it again. My grandson Josiah, he likes me. And I like him. And he'll come in and somebody will be holding him. And the minute he hears Grandpa's voice, the minute he hears my voice, it's all over. It's all over. He actually, you know what he does? It's so cute. It's got to be cute because it has something to do with Grandpa, right? But if someone's holding him and I'm three people away, he'll reach for the person next to him. So the person next to him will think, oh, how cute. So he gets into their arms. Then he turns to the person next to them and he'll reach for them. And they think, oh, he wants me more. And then they take him and hold him. All he's doing is working his way down to me. Because when he finally gets to me, then I'll take him in my arms because he'll reach for me and that's it. You can't get him out of my arms. He actually will cry if you try to. He buries his head in my chest and grabs my shirt and buries himself tightly in me. And he will not let me go. And the Lord has been saying, that's how I want you to be with me. Cling to me. Bury your head, if you will, in my chest. You say, what kind of picture is that? Well, I remember John, the beloved, who was the one who rested his head on the chest of Jesus Christ. And can you imagine the pleasure of hearing the heartbeat of God? And as he did that, it shows the fellowship that he had with Jesus Christ. And the Lord is saying, listen, in all of your disquieted moods, the times that you feel that I don't care, that I'm not there, I'm telling you, cling to me. I'm telling you, bury your head into my chest, if you will. Listen to my heartbeat. Because if you do so, I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will deliver you. I will hold you. I will never let you go. Why? Because I love you. So hold on to me. And that's what David is saying, or rather the psalmist is saying. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him. The help of my countenance and my God. In the midst of everything, I will still trust in the Lord. Now, Psalm 43 goes along with Psalm 42, and he continues, the psalmist continues by saying, vindicate me, O God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation, O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. You can see how Psalm 43 goes along with Psalm 42. The same basic thing. Seeing that my enemies are making accusations against me, he says, the psalmist says, defend my honor. I need you to act on my behalf. I ask you to plead my cause. Demonstrate to them that I am innocent. In verse 3, he says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. God's light and God's truth are expressions of his love. So with your light and with your truth, reveal your ways to me and guide me as I walk. Lead me. so that I might worship you, and lead me that I might praise you. Notice he says that in the second portion of verse 3. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Through your light and through your truth, bring me to a place of fellowship with you, so that you can be worshipped by me and I can experience fellowship with you. And that's what light and that's what truth is intended to do. It's to bring us into fellowship with God. In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So lead me, if you bring it up to the 21st century, lead me to church that I might worship you and that I might praise you. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. So notice joy and praise that is tied together. I want to have praise in my heart and joy that I might be able just to experience this understanding that by your Holy Spirit, though I might be going through circumstances that would undermine and cause